This is 89.7 NPR News. I'm Claire Roth. It's All Things Considered. At the end of last year, the Columbus Zoo faced the loss of three giraffes and an Asian elephant calf in the span of 6 weeks. The deaths were unconnected, and zoo officials say an external review committee found there was nothing that they could have done differently to prevent them. But one listener had a different question for our Curious Seabus project. What happens to the zoo animals after they die? Dr. Randy Youngie is the zoo's vice president of animal health.
So everything that passes at the zoo has a complete post-mortem examination. A post-mortem is an animal equivalent of an autopsy. We obviously want to know why the animal died, but we learn a great deal of information for that.
That's where veterinarians like Dr. Chris Premanathan come in. He's a professor of veterinary biosciences at Ohio State, and he and other faculty and students carry out autopsies of animals from all over central Ohio.
So this is our postmortem floor. You can see that we have five fixed tables, the two that are closest to us.
Premanathan points to large tables where the crosses of T-shaped platforms operate on hydraulic lifts.
So obviously, you know, compared to a human autopsy facility, the requirements are different.
Another deviation from a surgical operating room, the magnet block of butcher knives mounted to the wall, and a buzzing blue light meant to attract any flies that could circle animals' corpses. Premanathan is a pathologist, a sort of disease detective for animals. He spends half his time on live animals and half on autopsies, like those for the zoo.
It's a multi-step process in which we do the gross examination of the animal, okay, the dissection.
Next, they preserve and process parts of the animals into slides to get a closer look.
So we look at things from an external perspective during an autopsy, and then we take these tissues and look at them microscopically.
While the dead animals obviously cannot be saved, Premanathan says there are big benefits to these postmortems. They bring closure for the animal's owners and can help prevent future deaths in the same herd. Also, they contribute to the knowledge base for professionals like him.
We get better at treating diseases when we can understand the diseases better. And so that's kind of a feedback on if we look at enough certain cases of a particular disease, let's say a tumor, okay, and see the pattern in which it spreads or the pattern in which it responds to therapy, that will help, you know, future animals in terms of the treatment.
And Youngie from the Columbus Zoo says that's especially important for exotic zoo species that veterinarians don't see as often as domestic or agricultural animals.
Many veterinarians go their entire life without seeing the inside of an elephant. So with the loss of this calf, we were able to do a detailed dissection for everybody to learn what we can about the elephant.
And the learning isn't confined to those in the room.
In addition, we get lots of research requests. So there's an ongoing research project looking at some of the infectious diseases of elephants, and they're requesting, when possible, to get tissue samples to try to use for studying these diseases.
After samples are sent to researchers, the zoo animals are sent to crematoriums. Officials from the zoo say they bury the remains but don't disclose the locations publicly, as some of the animals are endangered and highly trafficked. The zoo does not hold memorial services for the animals that die there, but Youngie says that does not mean they're not mourned.
I knew this calf well before she was even born, and then we saw her every day of her life up until the day that she died. So it's about as close as you can get to an animal. It's about as much as a member of your family as an animal could be.
The story was part of our Curious Seabus project, where you ask questions and we find answers. You can submit a question at wosu.org/curious. This is 89.7.